In today's service and also next week's service, I'm planning to talk about healing. And we've had a little introduction to that already. And we've seen in this reading today, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16, that there's a situation here where Peter and John are faced with this man who's been unable to walk his whole life. And this is a point where Jesus has now ascended to be back with the Heavenly Father, so they can't sort of turn to Jesus and say, "Go on, Lord, do what you do, do your thing." Instead, they're the ones that are faced with this situation. They've gone up to the temple for the afternoon prayers, and they found this man sitting outside of the temple at the beautiful gate. And we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the different parts of the temple where certain people could go and certain people weren't allowed to go. And right in the middle of the Holy of Holies was the place where the high priest went once a year on the Day of Atonement. But this man is right on the edge of the temple. He's at the beautiful gate at the entrance to the main part of the temple. And interestingly enough, he's also a person that whilst he's on the edge of the temple, he would also be considered to be on the edge of society as well. And this place at the beautiful gate was a place where people would come and would beg for money. People who needed the money to live on but were unable to work for that money, like this man and his particular situation. And so he'd gone there to ask for money, and he ends up coming away with a lot more than he bargained for on that particular day. He gets healed when he meets Peter and John. Peter says to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then we see he takes him by the right hand, he lifts him up, and the man's ankles become strong. And of course, when we have readings like this, we can go on to the next slide now. There's a question that comes to our minds probably. We think, does God heal today? If God healed in the time of the apostles, can we expect to see God heal people in this day and age? There's a passage that we'll be looking at next week from James chapter 5. And in that passage, the elders are encouraged to have people come to the front. The people are encouraged to go to the elders to be anointed with oil within the church and to be prayed for with a prayer of healing. And also within that passage, it's encouraging individual, everyday Christians to pray for each other that they may be healed. And then we can go further on beyond the time of the apostles. You can go into the second century and find a man called Irenaeus, who lived between 130 AD and around 200 AD. And so he was born about 100 years after Jesus was crucified on the cross. And around 180 AD, he wrote, "Others still heal the sick by laying their hands upon them, and they are made whole." So directly after the time of the apostles, we still have Christians that are laying hands on each other that they may be healed. And of course, the practice of healing and anointing the sick has gone all the way through church history. It's why it's one of the seven sacraments, anointing the sick, of the Roman Catholic Church. It's been there all through Christian history. So I think there's no question about whether Christians should pray for each other, pray that we might be healed. But we must also remember, as this passage points out, that if we pray and we see someone healed, it's not us that's the healer, it's Jesus that's the healer. Peter goes on to say, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" He's very clear that it's not him. It's Jesus that's done this miracle. And so what you find often in the Bible is that when you find a healing, it's not really there purely for its own sake. Wow, a healing, a miracle, but it also points to something else. It points to something on a far larger scale. So Peter continues by saying, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong." We just go on to the next slide a moment. Encouragement to look up. When we see healings in the Bible, what else is it that we're looking for? In this particular instance, we're seeing that Jesus is actually still alive. Even though he's ascended into heaven, two chapters later after that, here's Peter and John showing through this healing that Jesus is alive. They say, what they're showing is actually, if you think about it, a dead prophet wouldn't be able to heal anyone. But a living Lord would be able to heal people. And that's the difference. Jesus is not a dead prophet. He's a living Lord. And that healing points to the greater truth. We looked not so long ago at Jesus healing the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof by his friends. And on that day, Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the teachers of the law get all uptight because only God is meant to be able to forgive sins. So it's easy for Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven." And it's a lot harder for him to prove that he has the authority to forgive people's sins. Any of us could say, "Your sins are forgiven." And so in order to show that he has the authority to forgive sins, he says, "Well, which is easier, for me to simply say that statement or for me to say to this man, 'Get up and walk'?" And obviously it's much harder to heal someone on the spot and to get them to get up and walk. But he does that not only to heal the man, but also to show his authority. And that him being able to heal the man points to his authority to be able to forgive sins. So when we see healings in Scripture, we can always look up and see what else is this telling us, particularly about God, particularly about Jesus. Each healing teaches us something amazing about Jesus. And it gives us hope. It inspires us to continue to pray fervently ourselves, day by day, pray without ceasing about all kinds of things. We just go on to the next slide. So I recognise for some people, maybe this is a pressing situation at the moment. You know, this is a real situation. There might be some people that are asking, "Will God heal me? Or will God heal my family member or a friend? Or perhaps, why didn't God heal my family member or friend?" Some people are perhaps cautious because they've seen false promises, spiritual manipulation when it comes to this sort of thing. Some people may have been told cruelly, "Well, if you had more faith, God would have healed you." Others have seen God heal, and they can't deny that that's something that he does. We come at this from all different experiences and angles. Sickness and healing affect real lives. We can't simply think of it as some kind of abstract theological conversation that I might have had in college. The man in this passage is a real person too. He spent his whole life not being able to walk. He's been dependent on others to carry him to the gate. He's been dependent on others to give him money so that he can live in his life. His condition affects his body. It would have affected his ability to work. It affected his ability to go into the temple and worship. It would have affected the friendships he had, his dignity, his daily routine. This was a big thing. It was a real life. And when we talk about healing, we need to begin by seeing the people themselves. He was someone that others, I'm sure, would have been walking past that day, but Peter and John notice him, as Jesus would have noticed him if he'd been walking past the temple as well. Although that man received healing on that day, he was still one day going to die. For whatever reason, God had given him that opportunity then to begin to live his life in a completely different way to the way that he thought he was going to live the rest of his life. Full healing will come only when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, there is still much the church can do. There's still much the church can do for people that are suffering. But go on to the next slide. Imagine someone is injured and they're waiting for the ambulance to arrive, and then the ambulance gets there. But we know that the ambulance is not the final place of healing. The ambulance wants to get the person to the hospital. The ambulance doesn't contain everything that the hospital will have. It doesn't contain perhaps every little thing that the person needs, but it is a real mercy on the way to the hospital. It brings help, it brings presence, it brings urgent care. And in many ways, the church in this current age is like that. In the present age, we're not in the new creation yet. We still live in this world now where there is sickness and need of healing. And then there's a future world that we look forward to, which Jesus promises, where there is full healing and no more sickness and death and pain. We can come near to people now and we can pray. We can carry people, we can sit with them. We can bring meals or lifts or hospital visits. We can sit next to each other and share in their tears. We can read Scripture, we can find hope. And until the final healing of the new creation comes, we will be like a community of holy ambulance workers going to the place where there's need and offering the help that we can and refusing to let sufferers be left on the roadside. As I was thinking about this passage today with the man at the beautiful gate that people don't notice, I was thinking there's a hymn by a guy called Frederick William Faber. It's from 1862, and it's called "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." God notices these things. And that perfectly describes that attitude of God. There's also the verse from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, that says, "God our Saviour wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." He wants us all there with him in the new creation that he promises. There's no doubt that God wants us to experience full restoration, and that will come in its fullness in heaven. That's why Jesus died. Jesus died to mend the broken relationship that we have with God, to give us the opportunity to know our Heavenly Father who made us. Even if there have been plenty of situations, I'm sure, in all of our lives when we may not have done things God's way. We've done things wrong. But the Bible tells us very clearly that while we were still sinners, while we were still doing the wrong things, Christ died for us so that we can be forgiven, made right with God, and know him forever, whoever we might be. We simply need to come and ask him. We go on to the next slide. Now, one of the biggest disagreements I often see happening in churches when it comes to praying for healing is whether we should say something like, "Lord, heal this person if it be your will," or whether we should say something like, "Lord, we know it's your will to heal this person, so do it now." And the first approach, the "if it be your will," is often criticized for sounding a bit weak in faith, like it's a bit of a risk, and we don't want to be embarrassed. And the second approach is often criticized for making God sound a bit like he's our servant, or that he's a mechanical machine where we put in a certain input and then we expect to get a certain output from it. And I think, however, the issue of when someone is healed is not so much to do with actually whether God's willing or not, but more to do with God's timing. The Bible is clear that it is God's will to usher in a future kingdom, whereas Revelation 21:4 says, "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." And why might we ask that? Because those things listed there, the death and the crying and the mourning and pain, are all things that we experience now in this world. But in the future, they won't be there anymore in this world that God is preparing for us. Now, in the future, there will be no sickness, and therefore there will be no need to pray for healing. In the current world, there will continue to be sickness and there will continue to be a need for us to pray for healing. The healings in Jesus' time pointed to a greater truth. And so it makes sense that the healings that we see today point to a greater truth as well. That's my thought. It points to something greater than simply the healing itself. But before I go into that, let's think about a few things that healing doesn't point to, because these are the things that often affect us more. We just go on to the next slide. God has no favourites. Someone being healed does not mean that God loves them more than someone who isn't healed. It's not about faithfulness. If someone is healed, that doesn't mean that they were somehow more faithful than the person who isn't healed. God is the healer. If someone is healed when you pray for them, it doesn't mean that you healed them. Means that God healed them. There's no healing formula. If someone is healed when you pray for them, it doesn't mean that you've used a particular set of words as if it's some kind of magic spell, or that you found a particular spiritual formula that's going to work under all circumstances. 5, you haven't failed. If someone is not healed when you pray for them, it doesn't mean that you've failed. It doesn't mean that they have failed. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them, or even that he doesn't desire for them to be well eventually. So for me, when someone is healed today, and we do see it happen as Christians, it's a foretaste of heaven. For me, it's a sign that the future world that we all look forward to is breaking into the present world, as a reminder to us from God that this is the place where we're heading. Points to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, just like in the passage. We know that Jesus Christ is alive today and that one day he will return to heal all sickness forever. And for me, when someone is not healed, it's a reminder not to despair, that we should not dwell on a sense of failure or believe that God doesn't love us. Instead, it's an opportunity for us to continue praying, to look to the cross, because that's the real sign of God's love. It's not about whether this prayer gets answered or that prayer gets answered. It's about the fact that Jesus went to the cross, and therefore we know that he loves us. It's the real sign of his love, and it's the real sign that Jesus ultimately wants full healing for everyone in his own timing when we enter into the new heaven and the new earth, which the resurrection of Jesus guarantees for us. This last part of the sermon here, I thought I'm just going to read this today because I think it comes across better if I read it to you. I think there's another slide after this. There's another one after that as well. That's the breaking in of the new world into the old world. In winter, a tree can look lifeless. The branches are bare. There's no fruit, no blossom, no colour. But if spring is coming, the barrenness is not the final truth about the tree. Life is still there, and one day it will show. The resurrection of Jesus is like the first sign of spring. It tells us that winter will not last forever, but we are not yet in the full summer of the new creation. So for now, some branches blossom early, some do not. Some healing comes now, some waits until resurrection. Every healing now is like blossom appearing on a winter branch. It's beautiful, it's real, it is a promise. But even where the branch still looks bare, spring is coming. That is Christian hope. Not denial, not pretending the branch is already full of fruit when it's not. Not telling people that if they believed harder, the blossom would appear immediately. But also not despair, because Christ is risen. Spring is coming. Some of us see healing in this life. Some of us carry sickness for many years. Some of us die before the healing we prayed for come. But no Christian will be unhealed forever. In Christ, the final word over your body is not sickness or death. The final word over your body is resurrection. And that's what we have to hold on to sometimes. Now, I do expect, because I've actually seen it, that when we pray for healing, we may well see it. But for whatever reason, I think it's to do with God's timing. It's not always going to happen, and it hasn't always happened, so we might as well be honest about that. It doesn't mean that we should stop praying, though. How then should we pray? We should pray for healing because Jesus is alive. While there's life, there's hope. Jesus is alive. Do not measure God's love by degrees of healing. It might sound silly, but it's kind of what we end up doing. Do not measure someone's faith by whether they are healed. Measure God's love by the cross. Measure someone's faith by the fact that they looked to Jesus for help. Measure God's power by the resurrection. Measure the future by the promise of the new creation. In the name of Jesus, some people will walk today. In the resurrection of Jesus, all who belong to him will rise and live forever. Let's pray together.